Welcome to our Alphabetics of Health conference call on May 4th, 2010. It is absolutely our pleasure to continue this complimentary service to support your health and wellness education. There will be about 10 minutes of education, and then we'll be opening up the call for questions and answers. Also, if you email us ahead of time with questions, we can answer them during the lecture, or they will be the first questions answered at the end of the call. All conference calls will be available on our website at www.dimensionsofhealth.net under the herbs section, and I can confirm that they are up there right now, and then each new call should be available within a couple of days. So just another quick announcement, the Brilliant Body Seminar is coming to Pleasanton on May 15th from 9 to 5. The cost is $35, and the subject is on the glandular system and the digestive system. Please contact your NSP manager for more information. And just to get started, my name is Morgan Jenkins. I am a certified natural health professional. I've been in the natural health business for about 6 years, but I've been studying natural health for at least 11 years. I've worked with hundreds of people with a number of different health concerns, but today I'm going to discuss one of my favorite subjects, the ears. Our ears are responsible for many functions, but the one that most people relate with is hearing. Our ears are also responsible for balance. There are three major parts that make up the ear. There's the outer ear, or the ear canal. This is where we have special glands that make wax, and it's also part of what channels the sound for us to hear. Then there's the eardrum, which is also called the tympanic membrane, and I'm not going to go terribly into detail of the anatomy, so I promise there's not going to be a quiz. This is what separates, the eardrum is what separates our outer ear and our inner ear. Then the inner ear has three different bones that help interpret sound. And lastly, there's the eustachian tube, which helps keep pressure between the inner and the outer ear balanced. It connects from the inner ear down into the throat. And it's basically a fabulous little tube. And this is why yawning helps when the pressure changes, say, on a plane or coming down a mountain. And there's more to the ear, which I'd be happy to share, but I won't right now for purposes of this call. There are a number of afflictions that can affect our ears. Hearing loss, ear infections, otherwise known as otitis media, overabundance of wax buildup, itching, ringing of the ears, and all of these things can be really annoying, no matter what it is. So the first subject I'd like to tackle is hearing loss. It can occur from a couple of different possibilities. The first is wax buildup. There are many people who consume too much dairy and wheat, and this causes a buildup of mucus in the body. And one of the places that this mucus manifests is as earwax. I find the best way to remedy this is with ear candling combined with an elimination of those two foods. Ear candling is a relaxing, non-invasive method that some people have reported has improved their hearing abilities, among other things. And just to let you know, Q-tips make this condition worse. It basically just presses that wax back into the ear. The other possibility for hearing loss is nerve damage. This shows as a loss in hearing range. Many people get hearing aids for this condition, but I'd also say to try helichrysum oil. There have been some cases that report that helichrysum oil can help heal nerve damage, which is considered in the medical world irreparable. And I can actually attest to, not with hearing in particular, but with irreversible nerve damage, helichrysum oil has affected my life in a huge positive way. So it's something to consider. Another big attention grabber for the ears are infections. This can happen for children who are as young as infants all the way up to adults. And the most common treatment for this condition is antibiotics. And for chronic infections, tiny tubes are placed in the ears for children. And this is actually the most common surgery in the U.S. And it has been discovered that 50% of the surgeries are unnecessary. There's another problem with the standard form of treatment. And I'm not trying to scare anyone, but, you know, this is just such huge information that I don't know how it gets lost or ignored. In March of 2004, there was a report that doctors should stop prescribing antibiotics for fear that there was an increase in antibiotic-resistant germs created by the overuse of drugs used to treat ear infections. And just to give you an idea, approximately 10 million prescriptions are written for the 5 to 6 million children under age 5 suffering from ear infections every year. Studies have shown that antibiotics do very little for a child's ear infection pain, and that with or without these antibiotics, most ear infections clear up within 3 to 10 days. And here's the real clincher. In October of 2007, they discovered an ear infection bacteria that was resistant to all pediatric antibiotics. They were concerned this was going to happen 6 years ago, and then it did happen 3 years ago. And what are they still doing today? They're giving antibiotics that don't really work and that cause other health problems in our children. And so with that, please note that after any antibiotic, one should take probiotics. We have Sunshine Heroes Chewable Probiotic Power, there's Bifidophilus, and we also have Probiotic 11, which has 11 different kinds of helpful bacteria that the body needs for a healthy colon and other functions. This last one is good for someone who has had several rounds or a number of antibiotic prescriptions in their life. We do have herbal solutions that work quite well. My favorite is Silver Shield from Nature Sunshine, and we've had parents report that use of this clears up an ear infection quite quickly. For nursing mothers, just put one drop in the ear that's facing up when you're breastfeeding, and then, you know, when you swap the other ear. Each drop should stay in the ear for at least 6 to 10 minutes, and this is true for older children as well. Just one drop in each ear twice a day for 6 to 10 minutes. Another thing for nursing mothers is to take fenugreek and thyme, which clears the mucus of both the mom and the baby. You can also make eardrops out of some garlic oil, olive oil, some tea tree oil, CBG extract, and a capsule of mullein is very helpful for pain. Internally, you want the child to take a probiotic, like I mentioned before, and echinacea to help stimulate the immune system. A great home remedy if you're out of everything and can't get a hold of your local herbalist is to bake a large onion, cut it in half, and while it's still warm, place it over the ear and squeeze it using the juice as ear drops. Another thing you can do is to put a raw clove of garlic just resting outside of the ear canal, and you don't want to push this in. You just want to let it rest there. You will also want to eliminate dairy, wheat, corn, peanut butter, oranges, and sugar out of the diet when someone is suffering from an ear infection. Another thing that can bring relief as well as act as a preventative is a lymphatic drainage massage. And what you'd do is you'd place your thumbs on the forehead and gently press towards the temples, then downward towards the ear in lines, starting at the hairline and moving down to the eyebrows. Then start at the ear and gently push gentle pressure across the cheeks and outward towards the mouth, going down in lines towards the jawbone. Next, you'll press downward, starting under the ear and down the neck along that really thick muscle, one side at a time, and that massage clears the eustachian tubes. There's more to this, but for sake of time, I'm going to move along. But please remember, if you have any questions or if you'd like to learn this technique, you are always welcome, and I will teach it, demonstrate it for you. It's a really simple technique that you can use. Itching ears is becoming more common, and I find that it's pretty much caused by an overgrowth of candidiasis or candida. This is a whole different subject, so if you have questions, please contact your herbalist, and they can give you a questionnaire to see if this is your issue, and they can make food and herbal recommendations. Finally, I'd like to mention the issue of ringing in the ears. I'd like to say that you'd really want to increase your manganese. There's an association with ringing in the ears and when that mineral is in its deficiency. So an herb that's high in manganese is red raspberry. Ionic minerals are also good for proper ear function. And another good one is ginkgo biloba, which brings significant improvement within 10 to 30 days. And the reason is that it enhances circulation to that area of the body, to the brain, to the head, all of that. And, you know, now I know that we're getting short on time, but now that I think about it, there is one other issue that I'd like to address real quickly, and not many people associate with the ears, or not always. Dizziness is often connected to an issue of the inner ear. It could be lack of circulation, for which I would suggest ginkgo gotocola, and it could also be virally related, which is becoming a more common cause. If this is the case, I would say take Chinese VSC internally and use a drop of Silver Shield in each ear twice a day for 6 to 10 minutes. And now it's time for my disclaimer. Not all herbal programs are alike because no one person has the same body chemistry or environmental conditions. If you're unsure of a program, please contact Sherry, Joan, Jerry, myself, or whoever referred you to this call, and we can always help guide you to an herbal and dietary program that is specifically designed for you. So thank you again for attending our call this evening. And now I'm going to open up the floor for questions. If you have any, please press *6 to unmute yourself. So do we have any questions? All right.
Can you
feel free? Yes, I can hear you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about ear candling?
Ah, ear candling is an ancient Egyptian process that basically you have a hollow tube that is it's made out of organic muslin and coated with beeswax. And you put one end in the ear, and if you have someone who knows how to do this, you're completely covered, your hair is covered, your head's protected, you have metal between your head and the other end of the candle, and you light the other end on fire. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but basically all that goes into your ear is smoke. And smoke has been a long, long known remedy for ear aches and other issues. The smoke can go in, and it can have these healing properties, and it can do a number of different things. And so it's very relaxing. It's warm. You hear a gentle crackling noise, but nothing but smoke goes into your ear. I cannot stress that enough. If you have any other questions or want to know more of how it works, you can go to our website at dimensionsofhealth.net and look under ear candling, and it's actually there, and there's some really good descriptions. Any other questions? And what's that?
What's the next class?
I was getting to that. So if you do come up with any other questions or have anything else that you'd like to, if you think about a question later, please email me at dimensionsofhealth@gmail.com, and I will happily answer any questions at any time. And this Thursday at noon will be on Fighting Fatigue with Sherry. If you have any questions, please email her at sherryjakes@dimensionsofhealth.net. Also, we should be putting together a new agenda for future subjects sometime this week, and we'll get that to you soon. We'd really like your feedback of, if this new systems are working. Do the times work for you? Are there any subjects that you really want to hear when we get to that letter? Please let us know. You can email us, or we can direct your questions to the proper person, who's going to be talking on what letter. So thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to talking to any of you soon. Take care.